Hi, it's Dave. This past week, Ron Barron was on CNBC sharing his thoughts on Tesla, SpaceX, and the power of long-term investing. In this video, I want to dig a bit deeper into the psychological aspects of long-term investing and some perspectives I use to gain an advantage. In his interview this week, Ron Barron shared a story about the psychological aspects of investing. Check it out.
So one of my friends, he owns cable television businesses. He did own cable television business. He sold them. And he was telling me that he's been an investor with us for five, six, 7 years. And he was telling me a couple of weeks ago, he says, Ron, the news is so awful. You tripled my money in the past 5 or 6 years. I have it in a tax-free account. Shouldn't I sell everything and come back after the election? Shouldn't I do that? And so my first question was, so Jeffrey, what is it that you know about all this news about the election, about China, about everything you read about in the paper every day? What different impact, understanding do you have of those news events than what everyone else has? Where's your advantage? What happens is that if you're right and the market does go down and it goes down sharply, then what's going to happen, and you sell, and if the market goes down sharply, what's going to happen is you're going to say to me, I'm going to call you up and I'm going to say, Jeffrey, congratulations on getting it right. You should buy back now. And you're going to tell me, Ron, it is so scary, I can't possibly buy back. That's on one side. And the other side is if the stock market happens to go up a lot in the meantime, instead of going down as you expect, and then what's going to happen is I'm going to say, you're really missing it. You should be an investor. He says, but I missed it, and I'm not going to buy. So if you sell, you're not coming back. And your choice is when you do sell, what's going to happen is you're going to take that money and you're going to have it in cash. And what you know 100% for certain is that the value of your cash is going to fall every single year, just like it has in every democracy for thousands of years. So you're turning an investment that you have in these great growth businesses and that you know are going to increase steadily over time or grow fast over time into something that you're 100% certain is going to decrease 3 or 4% a year every year. And in 17 years, it'll be worth half as much as it is now. 17 more years, worth half as much as it is again. Of course, on the other hand, I am 77, so I don't know how many of these halves I have.
All right, here Ron Barron brings up a few interesting points. Ron Barron is 77 years old, and he's been through a lot of ups and downs, and he's seen a lot of people also react to the ups and downs. And what he's saying is that when a person tries to sell their stock, or let's say their entire portfolio, before what they anticipate would be kind of a correction or a downturn in the market, what he's found out in his experience is those people usually don't get back into the market, or at least very easily. And the reason is, let's say a person sells their whole stock portfolio in anticipation that it'll go down. When things go down, hypothetically, they're too scared to buy back in because the entire mood and sentiment around the stock market is going to be very negative and filled with fear. And so that fear gets into the person's mentality and then affects their decision, right, to buy or not. On the flip side, if the stock market goes up, the person feels terrible because they just sold their entire stock portfolio and they feel like they can't get in because they sold at a cheaper price. So all of this brings up some interesting psychological aspects of investing. First, I think a lot of times we don't face the worst case scenario in our investing kind of perspectives because we don't think it's likely going to happen. When things get bad, and let's say the stock market drops significantly, let's say it drops 20 or 30, even 40%. At that time, people's worries and their fears all get kind of triggered and activated, and people get into preservation mode. And it's because they start to think of the worst case scenarios. What if there's a full-blown economic crisis throughout the whole world? What's going to happen? How long is it going to last? On the other side, if things are going well, people tend to focus more on making money, right? On taking risk, not preserving their existing capital, because they take the preservation of capital as granted. So their whole perspective shifts away from preservation, and it shifts to taking big risks and getting big reward. And yet there's another part of this psychological warfare in stock investing. And I think this is perhaps one of the most tormenting, and it is the stock ticker. The stock ticker is this constant bombardment of someone, but not just someone, millions of people trying to ask you to sell your shares at a certain time at a certain price. And this happens thousands and thousands of times throughout the whole day. And I think this force of investing is often not recognized as much as it should be. Oftentimes as stocks rise, you have this constant asking, right, of the stock ticker. telling you to sell your stock. And if the stock rises high enough, then most people are going to give in because they think, wow, I've doubled my money or I've tripled my money. Now it's time to lock in the gains. Most of the times now, this is fine because stocks go up and down. However, in the case that you were invested in a huge winner that is just getting started, then you might miss out on a lot of future returns. For example, let's say you sold Amazon in 2010 after riding it for a double or a triple. Or let's say you sold Apple in 2010, thinking that you doubled your money and you made a great investment. But what you didn't realize was Apple was just getting started in their decade-long dominance with the smartphone industry and would grow as a stock tremendously. Now, on top of this, there's a ton of disinformation in media and through wide variety of sources. Because of that, with each company, there's a wide range of opinions. You'll have people that love the stock and think it's going to the moon. And you'll have a ton of people who hate the stock and think it's going to go bankrupt. And for most people, it's going to be very difficult to sort through, right, all this information and disinformation. Oftentimes, people look at credentials, right, as a shortcut or the outlet name, right, whether it's CNN or Forbes or CNBC. And they don't really do their own research based off of first sources. And what I mean by first sources is they don't really go to the CEO. They don't really go to their annual reports or their quarterly reports or their filings. They don't really analyze the product and talk to product owners. However, I think one of the best advantages to have in investing is actually to be able to do your own research, to be able to analyze a product, to be able to forecast and estimate a company's kind of path of growth, and to actually work out your own valuation for a company using simple napkin math. A lot of people think, oh, I'm not going to be able to do that, right? How can I value a company? However, I take the flip side. A lot of times you might see like a spreadsheet valuation or a so-called financial model of a company's valuation, and it has like 500 cells, right? Or 30 columns, and it has like 5 pages, and you think, wow, that person knows how to value a company. However, I kind of look at it on the flip side. Oftentimes with complexity, you have a lack of clarity. You lose the simplicity and the focus of what really a company is going to be valued in the future. I like to ask that spreadsheet person with this crazy financial model, hey, give me a 30-second pitch on why this company is going to be valued right at the certain valuation, let's say in 5 years or 10 years. I simply want to know the assumptions of how many units of product they're going to sell at what price, right? What revenue they're going to get at what margin, and I want to know what kind of operating expenses they have so that I can come up with a net profit figure. And from that profit figure, I want to know a range of multiples that an investor might pay for a company like that. And I don't see a lot of people teaching those type of valuation skills, especially with innovative, disruptive companies. All right, let's talk a little bit more about this stock ticker and this constant pressure throughout the day of looking at stock quotes and being tempted to sell, right, at so-called high prices. Warren Buffett actually gives this example of a farm. Let's say you own a farm and the person next to you owns like almost an identical farm. And throughout the day, that person is giving you quotes of how much they're willing to buy your farm for and also how much they're willing to sell their farm to you for. And this happens throughout the day, but it happens every day. So every day you hear your next door neighbor telling you how much he's willing to pay for your farm, how much he's willing to sell his farm for, and this price fluctuates extremely, right, from day to day, from week to week, and from month to month. And as a farmer, you kind of just want to focus on farming, right? And this is your business. And it's this huge distraction for this neighbor to come to you every day and to ask you to sell, right, your farm or to buy their farm at a certain price. I think for most people, they just aren't prepared for this type of psychological stress, right, of holding a stock long term. And that's why I think psychological strength is an underrated part of investing. I think it's easier for people to think that they can have a herd mentality, that they can follow others and still, right, profit greatly. I think at times you can win by having a herd mentality, especially in a bull market. But when the bull market reverses or you have an extended downturn, you could lose your shirt as well. What I kind of like to do is I like to have an attitude kind of a rebel where I'm fighting against, right, all of these market forces or the pressure to kind of focus solely on the sticker price and to be tempted to just sell at any time. However, I do think it has some risks because as a rebel, sometimes you don't see your own flaws. And sometimes, let's say, you get some big wins and then you start to think that you have some type of magic touch. And I think this is especially the case, let's say, in a bull market where for many, many years, right, you can see the stock market increase into new highs and you see a lot of companies actually reach all-time highs as well. It can get easy to think that, oh, investing is easy, right? Everything just goes up. But it kind of reminds me of the saying, pride comes before the fall. See, the tricky part of all that is when you've got pride and hubris, you don't think you're going to fall, right? You think that everything ahead of you is so smooth and so easy. However, that's the time when, however, there's the most risk at hand. All right, I want to hear from you guys. What do you think? How do you handle like the psychological pressure of holding stocks, let's say, for the long term? And what's your perspective and goals for investing? If this video has been helpful, please like it and consider subscribing to my channel. We're looking at investment topics in the world through different angles, quantitatively and qualitatively. We're asking questions and probing, trying to get beneath the surface of things. I'm on Twitter at HeyDave7, and we'll see you in my next video. Thanks.